Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
I do feel like Duran had a case. Like,
oh, yeah. Okay,
he was safe.
I feel like his finger was on the bag. Pause.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
But if somebody welches, are you saying that ixnays all other bets?
No, it doesn't. Ixnays all the other bets.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tangent.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Golden Banana is still open and still, going strong.
Yeah, it's going strong.
Up there on Route 1, yeah.
That's male strippers, right?
No,
it's all that's female.
Oh.
I think there's a male strip club in Massachusetts.
Well, the name would
indicate yes. That, you would think, yeah. But no.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
Big Minnington guy, Ron.
What's up, my friend?
Are you a big Binnington guy?
Whatever the hell that is, I guess. I'm just a big guy.
Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party!
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning. Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor!
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. I'm a people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Yeah. Greg Hill.
Yeah.
Greg Hill. Show.
Yeah.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What it do?
How you doing, Wiggy?
What's popping?
Well, what's popping? Celtics have said farewell to Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Off to Portland.
Yep.
And so I don't know what that means about Jaylen Brown. Does that mean that everything is A-OK and Jaylen Brown is staying put? They decided that they can get some value from Drew Holiday and keep Jaylen Brown.
It was like $35 million next year, $32 million, something like that. So for the next 2 years, I mean, that's good money that you're getting off the books, and I'm doing mm-hmm. quotation marks, mm-hmm. air quotes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just, when I saw this, it made me have some hope that Jaylen Brown is not going anywhere.
Yeah, because they saved like, what, $40 million on the luxury tax, something mm-hmm. like that. So I don't know. And then they're getting the kid back from Portland who's on an expiring contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jaylen Brown is probably still up in the air. I think the biggest thing that everybody, you know, that the basketball heads are talking about is the number two pick for the San Antonio Spurs and what they're going to do. And if, you know, teams want that pick, they're going to have to give up a haul. But I'm not saying this means Jaylen Brown's not off the table. But now let's see if there's anything that's going to happen, what, tomorrow night when it's the NBA draft.
Yep.
Well, making the move when it comes to Drew Holiday, which apron does that get you at, Curtis? Is that a 2A or a 3 or a 4 apron?
You know what? I really woke up today tired. James wanted to watch Wheel of Fortune at 4:40. but I feel so much better knowing that really rich people are saving money. I'm just so thrilled for Chisholm. He's had a rough life, and I'm really happy that we're going to avoid an onerous apron that we created to prevent other owners from spending a lot of money so we could do things like this.
That's nice of you, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I feel like maybe he can join another country club.
Thinking of others.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful thing.
Drew Holiday, a huge part of the championship, and then I, you know, struggled a little, or I shouldn't say struggled, was not the same last season, and I don't know how much of that was the finger, because he dealt with a finger all season long or whatever.
And he's old, too. I think, what's he, what, 35, 36, 17 years in the
league?
So
you're getting a young guy in return in Anfernee, but at the same time, Drew Holiday, I think, thank God for that championship, and we thank him for that, but didn't pan out to be as successful in his last year.
Yeah.
And whether that was injury or whether that's old age, gosh, he's 35, like the older age in the league, we'll never know, but you know, I'm okay to see him go.
I just wonder if the move for this Anfernee Simons kid is something that is part of their future, or is it just something, because if he's on an expiring contract, don't a lot of times, you know, and I don't know all the NBA salary cap and all those, don't sometimes they get those players in and then they trade those guys?
Right, valuable.
Or are they going to see like, oh, he's part of the future, let's see what he does, and then we extend them?
No, I think Curtis is right. It's a cost-saving move. That's really what it is. And so whether it is the last one is yet to be known. So,
yeah, I doubt it's probably the last
one. You don't think it's the last one?
No, because they're a ton, you know, they owe a ton of money in that stupid, you know, like you said, apron. And now you got to figure out what you're going to do with Porzingis. Right, Porzingis is the next one, and then obviously Jaylen Brown.
If you had to choose between which of the two, if it was an option of Porzingis or Holiday that you would have rather them trade, I think I would have gone with Porzingis.
Yeah, I don't know that the value is there, though, the same way. Like, if you were an NBA team, wouldn't you look at both seasons here and say that when he's available and when he's healthy, he's great, but when he's not, and that's a lot, the value may not be there the way it was for the Celtics, because they were in a position to take him and not worry about
it. And your depth made it easy to deal Drew Holiday, because Peyton Pritchard just slides right into that role, and then he becomes a full-time starter on a very, very cheap contract.
Porzingis is a value because he's a 7'2", you know, big
29-year-old.
Yeah, who can stretch the floor out. He is technically still young.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like you said, Greg, he just...
Yeah, he's got the long bronc, or the long whatever, the long what, long COVID, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, we don't even know what that is.
The long super neuro. I don't know. He's got long something or whatever. So
if he had like a regular like foot, knee or something, I think teams would be like, oh, okay, we know what's going on with him, but nobody knows.
All right, well, Celtics make a trade, and you can talk about that all morning and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Red Sox lose. That first inning last night, Curtis, reminded me of one of Brees' Little League games.
Yeah.
Was that five runs that they dealt the Angels last night in the first
Walker
inning?
Walker Buehler's struggling.
It's a sign of a good team that whenever you take a lead, you immediately give it back.
Yeah.
Like, I love watching teams like that. The first inning, I thought was the game was going to end at six. We would have had a crossover with Will. It was a rough night for Red Sox.
I mean, I feel like if there's, again, back to if there's any interest, but in less than a month, Walker Buehler may be available for a reasonable price, I would assume.
I'm not a baseball person, but Curtis, when does it become it's early season over? Like, are we past the it's early?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We are officially, tonight is the halfway point. Okay. Yeah,
it's not over.
No, it's not even close.
No, I mean.
They're still in striking distance of the Yankees.
But we no longer can say, like, well, it's still early. A lot of baseball left.
No,
that's long gone.
You can't say
all of our missiles have been intercepted.
Yes.
You can't say it's
now crazy. It's like now it's more, are they going to do anything at the trade deadline because they're close enough to a wild card, or do they fall out of it so much where they become sellers?
I am so excited for Breslow on Thursday. I read a Jim McCaffrey piece that was from March that she reposted yesterday in The Athletic, and they basically did the Office Space. Like, when he arrived, He hired a third party that audited the entire operation, a company named Sportsology. I know we talked about it. I just refreshed my memory on it. And they were like, it is unbelievable. How do you know they fired the guy that drafted Roman Anthony, that scouted him?
No. Really?
Yes. That was one of his first points of business.
Was he the guy who called Breslow an effing stiff, or is that a different guy?
Different guy.
Different guy.
So here's Breslow standing on the shoulders of the scout that got the best prospect in baseball, saying, like, we can't mess with him, when he fired him. Like, if you're the guy that brought in Roman Anthony, don't you think you have, like, 5 years of job security?
Well, I think unless you're disrespecting the boss, if one guy calls him an effing stiff, what do you think the rest of those people are saying about him?
They're not saying it out loud anymore.
No, they're not. But clearly, there's definitely a mutiny against Breslow for people that already work there and calling him all types of names. So you got to be careful. I guarantee you. I know I'd be firing people like crazy.
Well, Curtis mentions it, and we will talk with Craig Breslow on Thursday as a part of this week's front office report, and we can ask about obscure reference, the Bobs, hiring the Bobs like they did in Office Space, which stands the test of time. Oh. That is a great film.
Such a great movie.
Office Space.
And even the flair, like the Jennifer Aniston stuff, whenever you go to like one of those national chains, you can reminisce about it. Excellent movie.
Milton is one of the all-time great characters.
Yeah, that's kind of Jackson.
And I don't know if the poor guy ever got a stapler back or not, but...
I don't know. I think he's struggling down there.
We need a sequel for that.
Yeah, he's struggling down there in the dojo.
There was a great thing. There used to be this website called E-Bombs World when I was in college, and they used these soundboards. So you would have like an array of sound from a movie, and you can make like prank calls with it. Yeah. And the guy would call in, this guy go, yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Sunday. Yeah. And people would lose their ever-loving mind.
Yeah, we're going to have to go ahead and ask you to come in on Sunday. All right. And Curtis, on our way to 100 today, right? Is that accurate, or is that the local news making a big ado out of nothing?
We're going to have record heat today. And just so you know, the record goes back to 1975 on Apple. So we've only been around for millions of years, but the record heat will be of the last 40.
Okay, well, 100 degrees, maybe higher, and... We are thinking about you if you have to be outside working in it this morning. If you would like to be on the show, the number to call is 617-779-7937. That's the same number that you can text on at any time this morning on the Subaru of New England text line. Our leads in about, or at least we will start with leads in about 15 minutes, and then they set it at 7:20, and that is a quick back and forth on everything they said yesterday in sports. The news with Courtney coming up at 7:45 this morning, and Courtney is at anxiety level DEFCON midnight after what happened at a bunch of street festivals in France over the weekend. So we'll get to that news. Oh, and also, it's been a while, but Up Talkers in the news this morning, and that involves a local bachelorette party and what they encountered while on a boat over the weekend in the area. So news with Courtney coming up at 7:45, and we are, as we always do, going to play Hill Notes back at 9:20. So you can leave one of those now on the Odyssey app, and the Odyssey app is another way that you can listen to this show and this station. You don't have to worry about where you are, when you're listening. You can listen any time of the day and night, anywhere in the continental United States on the Odyssey app. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, you should, and you will find another convenient way to listen to this radio show. And here to get us started is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Red Sox dropped their first with the Angels at West. 9-5 was the final. Walker Buehler went four innings, giving up five runs on three hits, all coming in the bottom of the first inning while striking out three. Another one with the Angels tonight, 9:38 first pitch with Garrett Crochet getting the start. Cooper Boardman joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 8:38 for the MassMutual pregame show. Does it feel like for you guys every time it's Garrett Crochet, you feel confident? Everybody else, you're just
yes,
yeah.
I'm not worried about Garrett Crochet at all, but. If they are going to be buyers, mm-hmm. and we can ask Craig about this tomorrow, John Heyman says that he is hearing that they are going to be buyers.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta somehow get another starting pitcher. Like
Craig,
they got
they're expecting from the kid Kyle, what's his name, Harrison, the kid that they traded Devers for from the Giants? Isn't he a starting pitcher? So aren't they expecting maybe he could step into that role?
You need something flashier than that.
Well, I think, yeah, I would agree, but don't you think the like the biggest maybe point right now is another bat if you traded for two pitches already?
Well, and you lost your best bat.
Right. So when you think that's the biggest thing, because
but you have money to spend right now.
No, like I agree. I agree with you. Walker Buehler stinks, mm-hmm. but the other guys have been okay.
Lucas
has
been up and down.
Yeah, he's
Garrett
been
has been great.
Bale's been okay.
Yeah.
You know, when you start to see them, what's how long before Tanner Houck is back?
I don't know.
I mean, take it for what it's worth. Heyman says they are going to be in the market for a starting pitcher and for a first baseman. So,
I'm with it.
But I don't know.
Are they going to do base running lessons today, or is it?
They got to work on that.
Yeah,
they have to work on base running.
And we already talked about it a bit this morning, but Drew Holiday is on the move. He's headed out west in a trade with the Portland Trail Blazers in exchange for Anfernee Simons and 2 second-round picks. 26-year-old Simons was with the Blazers all 7 years of his career, and last year averaged 19.3 points per game. And that was brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Maloney did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. I'm going to try out Ortho Laser for my knees because I've got bad knees. And
really?
So I'm going to give it a go. My mom does it. I'm going to do it as well.
All right.
That is what's trending. We will get to our leads coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, it is summer in the city, and we are headed toward 100 degrees today, but looks like it is going to be perfect on Friday morning in Gloucester for roadshow number 7. We will be at the Beauport Hotel as Gloucester gets ready for their biggest event of the year, and that is the Blessing of the Fleet and the St. Peter's Fiesta, and of course, big events all over. We're going to kick it off on Friday morning, and I don't know what's going to happen with Shime. Shime had one thing and one thing only on his bucket list, and they have a long, like a giant wait list up there, and they got a guy who runs the whole entire thing who is known as the Sheriff. Anthony Mazzo Giambanco is the sheriff of the Greasy Pole, and I don't know.
Oh, is he Irish?
I don't know if he's going to allow Sean on or not. But I did yesterday obtain actual audio of Shime learning about the big activity that goes on every year in Gloucester for the first time. If you would like to hear it now, Curtis, do we have time for it before Leeds?
Please, please.
Okay. Actual audio of Shime finding out about the Greasy Pole.
Good morning, family. Now, as you all know, since 4 minutes ago when I heard it on the radio, it has been my lifelong dream to compete in the St. Philip's Greasy Pole Contest, where shirtless men try to climb across a greasy pole.
Okay, so that's the actual audio.
Wow.
And Chime, I don't know if it's going to happen for you or not, but We'll keep trying right up until the show starts on Friday morning.
Appreciate the effort, Greg.
At the beautiful Beauport Hotel in Gloucester.
You just know that Chime is so happy that he's not able to do it. Like, you know.
I don't think so.
What do you mean?
Oh, are you kidding me?
I think he'd like to do it.
Oh, you
I wanted to do it. I was all gung-ho, ready to go.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it. I mean, getting out of the studio for a day, getting out, being able to jump in the water after sliding off a greasy pole. Who wouldn't want to do it?
I'm with Cordy 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is when you see the credit card already with the server, and you're like, "Oh, I really
I think the world record is. I was reading up on it yesterday. I think it's 4.96 seconds or something like that.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
And does that make it to the end of the poll?
I would imagine. Yeah, if that's the world.
Well, that's what you got.
Save that.
Well,
but yeah. That's the thing. So they do on, I guess the way it works on Friday is everybody goes out and gives the pole a try. And they don't try to get the flag.
What's you the girl's be able, name? Blue what?
Bonnie.
You want to be able to get the flag on Sunday because that's the finals of the greasy pole. So Friday, you give it a whirl. Go about halfway out or whatever, take a few steps.
Okay.
Come back on Saturday.
All right.
And you've got an order based on... I think how far you got the day on Friday.
Okay.
And then Sunday is the day that everybody goes for the glory. And so.
Okay.
But it should be, they basically shut Gloucester down for this. So it should be, it's perfect timing on the road show. Like, I cannot wait to get up there. And on Thursday night, we are going to be doing pregame at My Place by the Sea, which is Mike Milbury's sister's restaurant, and Mike Milbury will be with us and with you, and that place is beautiful. It's right on the water. I would get there early because there's a reasonable amount of room, but there's not a ton of room, and we are raising money at pregame for the family of Captain Andrew Porter of the Rockport Fire Department, who passed away unexpectedly last month and leaves behind two children under the age of 5 and his wife. So if you come out, we'll pass a bucket around and see what we can raise for that family on Thursday night. But in the meantime, we are here today and we are going to get to They Said It at 7:20. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45 and Hill Notes at 9:20 this morning. But Shime, let's get started right now with this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Shime, great one. I am assuming some sort of a long distance dedication to Portland, Oregon, and to Drew Holiday. And that is Lindsey Buckingham Holiday Road. The theme to the vacation film. First vacation film or all the vacation films?
I feel like it was the first one.
Was it only the first one? Or was
I honestly, so in the 1996-97, there was a Super Bowl Road song that was commemorating the Patriots' pursuit to New Orleans facing the Packers, and that's all I think about when I hear that song.
Yeah.
But yes, I think it was all of the vacation.
You think it was all of them?
But
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know about Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, because I feel like what was the name of the amusement park that they were going to?
Wally World?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it was the first one, but...
Sorry, folks, park's closed. The great John Candy.
I have a question if anybody wants to offer at any point. If anybody's been to Knott's Berry Farm, if they would recommend it.
Oh, in California?
Yeah.
All right.
We don't know if to do two Disneylands or one Disneyland, one Knott's Berry Farm.
Why don't you ask Ken? He's an adult who goes to a lot of children's amusement parks by himself.
On James's Life, I tell Ken I'm going there. He's like, oh, Maya and I are going to be there the next week. What?
I was in the office when that happened.
Okay, but that's okay. He's going there with his daughter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been since I was 6, and he's like, oh, I'll be there the next week. If we don't ask, he might be at an amusement park every week.
Wow. Has he ever... So he's gone by himself before?
Disney? Yeah.
But was he married with kids or just single guy?
A single guy in Orlando doing work for some Pittsburgh radio station.
Well, I think if you're single in Orlando, maybe you feel like it's a good, you know...
Well, if you're a Disney adult,
breeding place.
Meeting another Disney adult would make sense, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a good way, you know, you don't
you
need
to drink
Tinder.
Around the world.
He was trying to do the beers around the world at Epcot. He only made it to 1.5 countries.
He had 6 sips.
He got sick in Denmark after drinking half a beer. All right. Anyway, Leeds this morning brought to you by Subaru. It's going to be a Subaru summer. Find your 2025 Subaru at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Shime, I shouldn't assume, but are you addressing Drew Holiday based on choosing that as your lead song this morning?
Greg, surprisingly, I am not.
Okay.
Instead, Ken got me all worked up yesterday, so I'm talking football today. I'm sorry. Had to happen. So we talked yesterday about Drake May and kind of you asked me what my expectations were for him, and I told you I want more than 20 touchdown passes, approaching 4,000 yards passing with still like in that 400 to 500 yards rushing area. And Ken came in and was like, that's all?
Yeah.
20 touchdowns? That's it? Well, yes, Ken. 20 touchdowns last year would have put him tied for 15th. So any more than 20 touchdowns would have put him in the top half of quarterbacks in terms of touchdowns thrown in the NFL last season. And then Ken was like, well, we need to look at all these second-year quarterbacks.
Yes,
and if you didn't notice in our group chat, decided to send like four of them. The four he decided to hand-pick were Patrick Mahomes, who won an MVP and was playing on a team that was in the playoffs the year prior. Lamar Jackson, who won an MVP and was playing on a team that was in the playoffs the year prior. Jared Goff, who had Sean McVay. And Joe Burrow, who had just drafted Ja'Marr Chase and got to play with his favorite receiver from college, who is arguably the best, if not number two, in the NFL, currently speaking. So I just I found that very interesting that he decided to handpick those guys and compare them to Drake May, who I love and I think will be really good, but is coming off of a or on a team that is coming off of a 4-win season, realistically a 3-win season because the Bills kind of canned it in that last game. So I also looked at other quarterbacks, a few names that I'll throw out here. Kyler Murray had 26. Josh Allen in his second season only had 20. Jalen Hurts only had 16. Dak had 22. Baker Mayfield had 22. Tua had 16. Darnold had 19. Stroud only had 20 last year. And Trevor Lawrence had 25. So, like, if Drake May is in that 20 to 25 touchdowns, that's exactly the step in the right direction you need from a guy who was on a team that won 3 games last year. He himself only won, what, 1? 2 of them? Like, everybody needs to just stop thinking that he's going to be an MVP candidate. He's not what Jaden Daniels was last year. He is not going to immediately be Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. As much as I love the guy, that is far too high of expectations to have for a team that was horrendous, beyond terrible last year. And so any kind of
the Bengals
large
were a great
step
team
forward
before Burrow arrived.
I Curtis, I'm very well aware of what the Bengals were, and did you not hear me say that he also got Ja'Marr Chase, who is the number one or number two best receiver in all of football?
Right. Diggs was what changed Josh Allen's career.
Is Steph Diggs the same as when he went to Buffalo, Curtis?
He looks better. You see him on that boat?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
he
look good.
So anyways, Drake May does not have Ja'Marr Chase.
No, but I think 25 is the number, Shime. I think 25 is obtainable. I think 25 is the perfect number. If you know, sometimes if you get 25 passing touchdowns, you know, you're in the top 10 when it comes to QBs. So I like 25. And
you
which,
like 25.
And which
Curtis, what did you say yesterday? 30 you wanted?
Yes.
Yeah.
30's tough.
Not just wanted, but expected, maybe.
And many of those players that were cited by Shime were playing in 16-game seasons. We are currently in 17, so there's an additional game to throw a couple touchdown
passes.
Yeah,
if he threw 30 touchdowns, he would be number 5 in football.
Yeah, right. Last year, Bo Nix.
He was the third pick in the draft.
Curtis, they have, like, one of the worst offenses in football. You expect him to be number 5?
Greg, I'm going to ask you, because you're a football – and Wiggy. Wiggy's sort of a football guy.
Yeah. What a ridiculous request.
Yeah. Baseball season.
Are you going to ask me what word I would use to describe if Drake May gets 30? Because I have that for you, Curtis.
Nasty.
Nasty.
We are on the same wavelength. I was going to ask you what the Achilles heel was of the offense last year.
I believe the Achilles heel of the offense last year
would be the O-line?
Yes.
Okay.
They have improved it.
Yes.
They used their third pick to get the quarterback and their fourth pick get the left tackle.
Yeah, but we don't even know if he's going to be a left tackle, Curtis. That's the issue. Is we have no idea if this kid's even going to be good at left tackle or if he's going to get kicked into guard halfway through the season.
If he gets kicked into guard, that's it. Fire everybody.
Right.
Well, if you wasted your fourth pick on a guard and there was a guy like I wanted, Tyler Warren, Ashton Jeanthi, you know, I wouldn't have rolled the dice on him, but some people had the number one, the first receiver to go was Tetaroa McMillan, and you took a guy that you're kicking into God. That's not a good look.
I also think that, and it's not going to be, the effect from it is not necessarily going to be a huge difference maker, but going into camp,
uh-huh,
knowing that you're the guy,
yes,
and not having to deal with the nonsense last year where your head coach was on the radio saying that you were the guy, mm-hmm, and then Elliot Wolf or Robert Kraft or somebody else was like, wait a minute, we're paying $8 million to a backup, and we got to get the backup.
And they moved out the headache of the talented guy that thought he should play more, too.
Greg,
so they cleared the room.
Greg, you are spot on. Because what that's going to do for Drake May, his confidence, his leadership of coming into camp, well, he probably already knows now, OTAs and everything, coming into the season where Josh McDaniels, I'm the guy.
Hey, Josh. There's no question about it. I don't have to earn my job. Like, whatever.
So, I would just like to point out that everybody on the planet seems to compare him to Josh Allen. Josh Allen's second season, he went 10-6 and threw 20 touchdown passes, 3,100 yards passing. Those were Josh Allen's stats, his mm-hmm second season in the NFL. I'm just saying, if Drake May's right around that, I think that's the right direction to be moving.
But I think it's all about the record, too, right? If you're 10-6 and you throw 20 touchdowns, and, Shime, you had said 12 or 13 interceptions, I think people are like, okay, because your record. But if you're 7-10...
I'm with you on being optimistic,
mm-hmm,
but I heard our guy Ninkovich talking about this the other day on a podcast. And going from, you're expecting an additional 6 wins season to season. I mean, they won 4 games last year.
Yeah. How much does Vrabel give you?
What's that?
How much does Vrabel give you?
I don't know. Maybe a game, maybe 2.
Yeah.
That's 2, and then you consider that the team's gotten better around Drake May. That's probably another game.
But they really haven't. Curtis is right. They really haven't improved. When it comes to weapons, they really haven't. You don't know when you're getting Steph Diggs. You know, I mean, right. I don't know.
Can we all just, and I think it's a great lead from Shime, and I you make very good points that are irrefutable. I would just say that the quarterback, you know it when you see it. And we will know this year if Drake May is it, or if he's someone that is like Tua who requires others to elevate him, or if he's able to elevate others around.
That I can 100% agree with you on, Curtis.
Because Josh, I think a lot of people feel confident in Josh McDaniels when it comes to him as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So the expectations are you got a really good offensive coordinator, you got a great head coach, that's what a lot of people believe, so your defense is much better. So there's going to be plenty of games where your defense keeps you in there, and are you able to do enough on the offense when it comes to throwing the football as a quarterback and not making the mistakes?
And do you have a friendly schedule?
The third easiest.
Or a friendlies moment.
Which you notice that when Shime was all over Mac Jones, he was quick to point out how weak the schedule was that season. Never mentions that when talking about how Drake May is going to do
this. If Drake May has like a stupid season stats wise, like it's stupid as in stupid good, mm-hmm, like it'll be in large part because the schedule is also easy.
Curtis was right, though.
I'll say it right now because it's absolutely true.
Curtis was right because they argued about it yesterday. Mac Jones had a hotter schedule than Drake May. At the time going into the 2021 season, the Patriots had the 17th hottest schedule in the NFL. Right now, the Patriots, I believe they're 30th.
Yeah, heading into the season, schedule was harder. But like at the time when he played those teams, he got to play the teams Titans without Derrick Henry.
Right, but he also had
the Browns without Nick Chubb.
Right, but he also had to play.
And he also had the number 2 defense in all of football.
He had to play Brady, and he had to play Dak. When you look at this, I'm just talking.
Toe-to-toe with those two guys.
I'm just talking about going into the season. We're not talking about week 8. Going into the season, at that time, the Patriots had the 17th toughest schedule, where this year, I believe, they're 29th or 30th. So just going into the season, Drake May, the schedule is very formidable for him versus when Mac Jones was a rookie.
Okay, Shime. That lead was nice.
Greg, I would prefer if you called it
Nasty.
It was sweet. All right. We're going to get to another couple leads coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Next. The Celtics will not be keeping the band together, as the expression goes, and it appears to be final. Drew Holiday heading to the Portland Trailblazers, and you can talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are going to get to They Said It in about a half an hour at 7:20. And, of course, as always, we are going to play the best Hill Notes back at 9:20 or so this morning. So you can leave one of those now on any topic, and you can leave it on the Odyssey app. It's really simple. So as you're listening to this show on the Odyssey app, you just click on the microphone and talk away, and we will assemble the best ones and play them back for you at 9:20 this morning. But we have a lot of leads left to get to before it gets to 100 degrees today. Curtis, good morning and hello.
Good morning, Greg. I was going to go in a similar lane as Shine, but I'm going to just quickly pivot to something Wiggy has said often, that if the current performance of the Boston Red Sox was any other team, every morning until the day he was gone would be five lines saying fire the coach or manager. They are undisciplined. They are completely and totally inept on the base path. They're sloppy. They don't improve things. They don't have things happen and then correct the mistake. Cora is losing it on the field. He's like screaming at umps every couple days. He wants to be like the Coastal Carolina guy and go viral, maybe. I don't know. But the reality is he was helpful in 2018. He was not hired by Breslow. One of the two has to go at some point. And I just watched the Red Sox, and they are a disaster. I know they improved recently, the Devers fiasco, whatever, but just simple things like catching line drives or Duran getting caught in the bases. How many times, first of all, they don't get many hits. So when you're on base, it would be very beneficial if you didn't get cut off trying to make an extra take second when you're down three runs.
Yeah.
Like, the whole...
I mean, it was safe, though.
Right. Great. It shouldn't be close. You're down three. Who cares about 90 feet? Like, I don't know what... To me, Cora's behavior signifies someone who feels like his job is on the line. And that, to me, goes back to the overreaction to going to the graduation, the way he's been on social media. The guy just seems a little on edge.
When it comes to the lack of execution fundamentals-wise, which you're talking about, do you put any of that on Craig Breslow and the over-reliance, or maybe not even reliance, the over-focus on analytics and on... drive line and like all of that stuff and it's coming from the top with Alex Cora that these are the things that we want you to focus on and you don't have time to worry about the fundamental stuff.
But I would say the people in the analytics department would be the ones most outraged at a risk that doesn't justify the reward.
Right.
So like they would say, do not, if you hit it, you know, if you get a ball down the line, down three runs in the eighth inning, and it's 50-50 or 70-30 to take second, don't allow that 30% to ruin the fact that we now have to get three more people on base. Like, that to me is don't take second in this spot because you're down three runs and don't risk it.
And go ahead, Courtney.
Well, we also emphasize so much about whether it's AI or the stats or the analytics, but Craig Breslow is also a former player. Like, this is a guy that I think we maybe put too much emphasis on that. I don't see Craig Breslow just forgetting about all of his years playing in the majors to then only focus on numbers now in a front office. And whether or not that's coming from the top, I do think that there's a little bit more for Craig Breslow that he has a human element to it, that he doesn't maybe focus as much as we believe he does.
Does he sound when he's on with us every week in any way, shape, or form like a human?
No.
No.
No,
but he's not.
Partner,
He's not good with media. That's
he sounds like a cyborg.
But that's just a personality thing.
It's a personality
thing. Well, he made it. Did he not play in the majors?
He did.
So he made it to the highest level. Mm-hmm. He's clearly very talented when it comes to being able to play baseball. We're not talking about a Chaim Bloom situation who's just brilliant. We're talking about a guy who knows the sport inside and out. So I do think that sometimes we have to remember that. I forget it sometimes, and I think of him more as Chaim than I do like an Alex Cora.
Well, I also think like, how much is the analytics versus how much does Cora have the ability to manage? I think that there's no way you could tell me that Cora is one of the highest paid managers in the league and doesn't have the ability to say, no, we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. I think the analytics are 85 pitches. We don't want Crochet going higher than that. I think the analytics are the drive line is what you talk about, Greg.
Yeah.
I think the other part of analytics is also, hey, we don't want Aroldis Chapman to go out for that second inning, even if it's to face one guy. But when it comes to running and it comes to, you know, fielding mistakes, like to me, that's managerial and that's on the manager. When you're botching, when you're getting caught up in a double play and a rundown and then able to throw at the second and get another player because he's trying to sneak in the back door. Like, to me, that's part of the manager and what they're doing when it comes to base
running. But these guys are also big league ball players. Like, at some point, I mean,
doesn't matter, Greg.
Fielding grounders in Fort Myers, Florida, you know, it's kind of late for that when it comes to trying.
Greg, let me tell you, as a former player in football, I'll tell you this. Ty Law will tell you this. Ninkovich will tell you this. There are plenty of guys that are playing professional football who've been in the league for a number of years, and you look and you go, you still don't know how to get in a proper stance, or you still don't understand this. Like, that is, and there are so many, and listen to the guys that played for Bill Belichick who no longer were like, I thought I knew about football until I was coached by Bill. So there are a lot of guys who don't know some of these things. And I get it. You're a professional. You should know it.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised as many of the guys who don't really know the little things.
Well, Curtis makes a great point. And the record over the last 5 years with Alex Cora at the helm is not good.
It's horrible.
It's awful. And so I don't know that we would accept it as fans with any other team, any other manager. You're right about that, Curtis. Thank you. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. My lead's about Sophie Cunningham, what I'm calling the enforcer now on the Fever for Caitlin Clark. We talked about the game last Tuesday, that it was very chippy. Sophie Cunningham at the end of the game ended up getting ejected for a flagrant. She also got fined by the league. She has been very outspoken about the WNBA referees and how they're dealing with Caitlin Clark and how the league, the players in the league have treated Caitlin Clark in game, and says she's not going to stop. Since that game and since that fine, her jersey got sold out of the team store. She gained 300,000 followers on Instagram and over 1 million followers on TikTok. Sophie Cunningham is rising to fame. She is taking what Caitlin Clark has, all the eyeballs that Caitlin Clark has brought to the league, and she's running with it. This is how the players should be dealing with it. They should be capitalizing. They should be
embracing Caitlin Clark.
Yes, but
not
also
angry at Caitlin Clark.
But also, how many years before Caitlin Clark we heard about WNBA players and how they're not making enough money, and I agree with them. The fact that you're a professional athlete and still not able to make ends meet, that's one thing. But now you've got social media on your side. Sophie Cunningham getting 1 million followers on TikTok makes her hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousand dollars a year. Like, it is so wild to watch a $400 fine from one game, an ejection in one game, and the rise to fame immediately after. Yeah. It wasn't just building up. This was overnight fame for Sophie Cunningham, overnight success.
So she's like the Draymond Green of the WNBA, is what you're saying.
I mean,
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
She technically was like the scandal of the WNBA because allegedly she was the one that had hooked up with the...
That was not happening.
No, I know, but allegedly. That's why I said allegedly.
But that's Wiggy why we shouldn't even bring it up that's because what, that was it wasn't true.
But that's how Wiggy knows her name.
Right. I would have no idea.
No, you would have known. You would have known about it after that game the other night. We talked about
Wednesday. I knew who she was, but I mean, that thing brought me to like figure out, oh, okay, who is this girl?
But the hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram, the millions of followers on TikTok were not from that.
It's from like, if you're in the WNBA, you want to, whatever you want to do, you want to ride Caitlin Clark's coattails. You want to defend her. You want to be a great teammate to her because people love that. I understand. I'm just saying there are some people like, I didn't know who Sophie Cunningham was until I saw that whole Phoenix Suns alleged stuff going on.
Now, what do you say to a text like this? 603 text from New Hampshire. She gained followers because she's a smoke show.
Yes.
Yeah, that helps.
Okay.
Yeah, that
but
really
I also
helps.
Think okay, okay. I also think like if you're listening, if you are a follower of Dave Portnoy loves Caitlin Clark. Now that Sophie Cunningham's standing up for Caitlin Clark, you're probably going to jump on that bandwagon as well. So, yeah, does it help that she's a very attractive woman?
Yes,
sure.
Right.
And her IG is easy on the eyes.
Greg, she didn't become attractive on Tuesday.
Right, right.
She's always been attractive.
Yeah. All right. That lead was mint. We will take a quick break and be back with the rest of the leads next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.